Lord, we just thank you for this morning and thank you that we can come together and look into your word and have you speak to us and just give us a greater understanding of you and what you're doing with us and in this world around us, and just to be our teacher this morning. And so we just thank you. And Lord, I want to lift everybody up here, everyone, their hearts to be open, the people that hear online, hearts to be open and to hear the word of God. And just you would speak to them, and they would just, and you would just touch them in a special way, each of us, that just be, experience your presence and your love for us in a special way. I pray for all those that are traveling and this special week, and I just pray you just to protect them. I do pray, or I echo Fran's prayer, and just pray for, and just for the people that knew that young man in Haiti, just a boy really, and you be their comfort, and truly we rest that he knew you, and so God, we give you that also. So I pray this, Lord, just anoint me with spirit. I just speak words of the spirit, each heart would be open in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, here we are. Notice the title, the picture of Jesus. You know, the as you know, as we've been going through the book of Hebrews, and my opinion is that the book of Hebrews is named Hebrews because that's who the book was to, the Hebrews specifically. Now, it's to all of us, but it was focusing on the Hebrews because the Hebrews had an understanding of the Old Testament. They had an understanding, you know, the depths of the Old Testament. And so you're starting there with them. And so what happens is Hebrews, is it's being presented that the fulfillment of everything they believed is in Jesus. So that's I believe the whole purpose is to tell them what you're looking for is Jesus. And Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the culmination of everything. And so as a result, we come here to chapter 9. And so what it does in the book of Hebrews is that it presents a picture of Jesus. So it's gone all this way. So in chapter 9, now it's going to give us a picture so we can see who this Messiah is, see, you know, how he's in the Old Testament, and see how he fulfills it. So speaking to them and giving them a picture. Giving them a picture. So, are y'all ready to see the picture of Jesus? Ready? You want to see this? This is a snapshot. The picture of Jesus. Okay. That's it. That's a picture of Jesus. Right there. And let that soak in. And what you have, this is really a great picture. And what you have here is the tabernacle that God told Moses to build, and all the tribes are camped all around it, and then that's how that the Jews were led. They were led out, they'd pack up this tabernacle, move, they'd put the tabernacle, they'd all camp around it. And this is, if you will, a picture of the believers of that time in the world. This is the picture of God's believers at that time. And so what we have here is Moses. God spoke through Moses to have all this done. And he spoke, and Moses gave it to the Hebrews, and they built it. They understood this. I also want to note, I love the way this picture also does it, because sometimes we can miss this in the Old Testament. But notice the light going up from the tabernacle and then starts covering over the top. See, the tabernacle was covered by a column of light, of fire, a column of fire at night. Because, you know, you wonder, you know, these people, the temperature would drop down to, you know, freezing at night, but they never got cold because they were covered by a cloud of warmth. And in the day, the temperature was out unbelievably hot. Well, that cloud turned into, just not from fire to a cloud. Now they were in the shade. See, they always were in the presence of God. The temperature didn't go up or down, and he was taking care of his people. So it's interesting to, we'll just throw that in there, to pay attention to that cloud. Now, also, we know, you know, from reading in the scriptures, the Israelites never went any place until that cloud moved. The cloud moved, and then they went. Can you imagine if they went before the cloud moved? Man, it's hot. Man, it's cold. You know, but if they stayed where they're supposed to be and follow where the cloud was going, everything was just fine. Everything was just fine. You feel in a lesson there. All right, so look at this picture. So this picture, really, you see this in the Old Testament. It talks about the tabernacle. It talks all about it. Well, this is the picture. This is a picture of what they're talking about when they're talking about the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle, what we see in Hebrews 9, the tabernacle, it starts off with Jesus as the great high priest. So he's telling us that this, all through chapter 9, he said, we're going to see Jesus and how all this ties into Jesus. Now, I'm not going to read all that section. I gave you this picture instead, and we'll talk about it. But you should go back and read chapter 9 because it's all based on chapter 9. And chapter 9 is basing and telling us how the Old Testament, how Jesus in the Old Testament is fulfilled here. This is here. So this is the reason for the lesson. So the tabernacle, the Old Testament physical is the Old Testament physical picture of Jesus. I'm going to repeat that. The tabernacle is the Old Testament physical picture of Jesus. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. This tabernacle is Jesus. Now, God wants us to understand this because he put it here in chapter 9. He goes into the detail of all this stuff. So he says, I want you to understand this. Now, what I'm going to do here, I'm going to kind of quickly walk through this wilderness tabernacle. And we're going to see through this how God showed Moses to set this up, showing us the way we can approach God. Okay, if you're taking notes, take this note. Why are we looking at this? Because God is showing us here the way we approach God. This tabernacle, physical Old Testament, and spiritually fulfilled in Jesus. This is the way we approach God. Now, we approach God, the creator of heaven and earth. Now, again, this is not intended to have a deep, deep study on the tabernacle. That's not my purpose here. But I do want to highlight and just show how the Old Testament temple is a picture of Jesus, okay? And so I won't reference a lot of related scripture. However, if you want to look at that, it'll be online. And it is in my notes, so you can see some scripture, see the scripture in my notes. But I didn't want to spend that much time on it. Now, so everybody got this? They're pretty? This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Now, what I want to do is look at another diagram so we can walk through this and understand the pieces of information that are telling us about Jesus. It's just so much, you can't do it in one. So this whole temple process and worship is a communication of what Jesus himself did. Okay? So let's ready. Walk through that. Look at this diagram. Look at this diagram. Now we're going to get a picture. Again, the tabernacle is God saying, this is how you approach me. So now we're going to look at the pieces, and we want to look how this transfers to the New Testament, how we approach God. All right. So on this diagram, again, note the cloud. God said he would give a cloud to guide them. It's over this tabernacle. That's where God's cloud is. Now, so here we have the first thing we come out to is the outer court. The outer court. Now, this outer court was white linen sheets. It was white linen sheets all around this outer court. And you can get into the dimensions and all sorts of things, but we're just going to cover it now. It's white linen sheets. The white linen sheets, okay, scriptures just show this, the white linen sheet represents the righteousness of Jesus and those who put their trust in him. Look in Revelations, look in the Old Testament. So what is that? What did I just say? The righteousness of Jesus and the righteousness of the saints. So where do you need to be to have that righteousness? I'm going to mess with you a little bit. You got to be in it. See, if you're out, you ain't in it. You got to be in it. See? So here's these sheets, the righteousness of God, and you got to get in it. Get in it. The white sheets represents the righteousness of the saints that we only receive from Christ. You can't be righteous outside the sheets. You can only be righteous inside the sheets. It's the righteousness of Christ and the righteousness of God. Amen? Well, there's... it also, we see that there's only one way into this court. It's got one gate. That's it. You can only go one gate to get in through this. There's only one way. There's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. One way. They don't have a side door. They don't have a back door. You know, it's just one way. So the sheets are the righteousness, and the gate is Jesus. The sheets are Jesus. The gate's Jesus. You got it through one gate. One gate. Well, then the first thing you come up to in this outer court is this big bronze altar. And it's bronze. And this is where they killed the animals. They killed the animals. They sacrificed the animals. They drained their blood. Drained blood in cups and take it in and sprinkle everything with it. You know, you go, yuck. I mean, yuck. But you get, so the first thing, you got the one way. So the first thing you see is this bronze altar where the sacrifices are. And the priest brings the sacrifice and kills it on this altar. Jesus, now this is told us three or four times in Hebrews already. It says Jesus is the priest. He's introduced specifically as the priest. So the priest brings the sacrifice. Who's the priest? Jesus. Jesus went in, the righteousness, the one way, which is Jesus, and he brings us, and the priest, who is Jesus, brings the sacrifice. See? You know what else it says in Hebrews? And we'll get to this in the next couple of weeks. It says in Hebrews, Jesus goes, I am the sacrifice. He says it. I mean, and that's just how he says it. I am the sacrifice. There's no more. I am the sacrifice. So Jesus, the priest is Jesus, and he brings the sacrifice, which is Jesus. You see what's happening here? We have the righteousness, which is Jesus, and we walk through the gate, which is Jesus, and the priest, which is Jesus, brings the sacrifice, which is Jesus. What's the title of the message? Picture of Jesus. And God's telling us something. It's something here so that we can understand better. He's telling us the depth of what's going on. Now, I need to add again, the Jews knew what he was talking about. We got to catch up, you know, we got to figure out, read the Old Testament. We got to look through all these things, you know. Says, oh, that's what, Jews knew this already. This temple was not a mystery to them. It was not a mystery to them. So, okay, so you've got this sacrifice. And again, I repeat, they would drain the blood and put it in cups. Okay. But they'd burn the sacrifice up. Be totally burned up. So the next thing you walk in and see a basin. a basin full of water. You know what they did a basin? I guess, you know, after you sacrificed that, burnt that sacrifice, you washed your hands and you washed your arms on the basin. That's the next thing you come to. And it's a big basin full of water. Full of water. You cleanse yourself. You cleanse yourself with the water of the Word. I'll give you a verse on this. It's talking about in Ephesians 5:26, and it talks about washing with the water of the Word. Do we have to physically wash our hands? Now, some religions do that. They wash themselves and they get stuff like that. That's the physical picture. That's not the spiritual picture. What you do, how do you cleanse yourself? How do you cleanse yourself? I mean, you just pour water over your head and pour water out and hope you get clean one. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you wash yourself with the Word. And from washing yourself with the Word, it cleanses you. It cleanses you through the Word of God. Amen? There. That's a picture of it. Word of God. Now, so this is coming up. Now what we do, we're coming up on this tabernacle. Now you can see the box inside it. So this box, which is a little house type thing, that's in this courtyard, this box here, okay? And so that's tabernacle. And so once we've reminded ourselves to continually to cleanse ourselves through the Word of God, okay? It's a continual process. Word of God, we enter this tabernacle. Now you can make a note, Exodus 26:1. And just have a blast reading that, because it's going to tell you all about the tabernacles, all about the boards, all about the bases, how it's built, how it's put together. You can have lots of fun reading that. So, but this is, here we are now, we're coming up to the box of tabernacle. Now what happens in that little house there, that's where God dwells. In this tabernacle, this is where God dwells. So you see what Jesus is doing. Righteousness, one way, the gate, the sacrifice, washing with the Word. And now you're coming up to the house where God dwells. He dwells in this tabernacle. Again, read in Exodus chapter 26. It goes in great detail about that. So this tabernacle, give a little description of it. This tabernacle has wooden beams and siding boards, all covered with gold, solid gold boards, this house, tent/house. It's covered with, surrounded with golden boards. And it's covered by a real colorful linen, all sorts of colors. So it's completely covered in linen sheets that are embroidered with angels. Angels are embroidered all through it. It's all covered with sheets, kind of like where God dwells. He's all angels all around him, okay? And so it's blue and red and really pretty with angels embroidered. And then, oh, so you got this cloth real pretty. And over that, Moses told them to put ram and goat skins. It's protection. You know, I mean, you don't want your nice fancy linen, you know, exposed to the elements. So they covered it with sheepskins and with goat skins. So that was a protection over top of this. So that protection. And now you come up to this house. We'll call it a house here. And there's one door. There's just one entrance. And it's linen entrance, really colored, really pretty. A lot of color in this house here, a lot of color. So you come up this really fancy door or drape or something, and then you move back and you go inside. You go inside. Now, also, once you go inside, the back third of the room is separated, top from bottom, by a huge curtain. really a beautiful thick curtain. Again, linen, all sorts of angels embroidered into it. Really pretty cut curtain that separates the back third of this tabernacle. So you can kind of see the picture of how that back third is separated. Now, so what this, the first part is called the holy place. The second room is called the most holy place. Okay. So the holy place and the back, the last room is the most holy place. Now, for us to better understand this, I have another picture for you. Okay. And you understand these are artists' renditions, you know, and they're taking their best shot of how they understand this, you know. There was no photography back then, so they're basing it on the description. So look at this picture of what the tabernacle looks like. So you go into this thing, this house, surrounded, it's, again, golden covered wood all around it. And so you walk in, and you're in this, you move into this tabernacle. Now, we should note here, and it's important, King Solomon built the temple with the same proportions, except it was like three times as big, and it was massive, had huge stones, it was really ornate, and you can, when you get into the Chronicles and Kings, you can see where Solomon built this huge temple, and that was the place of worship that he built, but it was... The proportions were the same as this. The whole thing, he built it just like this. Had everything was in that. It was huge. And as you may note, in 586 BC, the Babylonians destroyed his temple. Now, later on was rebuilt, but that's the history. But it was this right here. This is what he built. So it's a massive building. Now, so let's enter this tabernacle. There's one thing I want us to note that's kind of important when I say the rest of it. So you walk in. There's no windows in this. There's no windows at all. You know, there's not any light or anything. So you walk into it. It's pitch dark. It's dark. Now, this is important because there's something else here. The light comes from golden candlesticks. Now, we would know this. The Jews know it. We know it. And it's called the Jewish menorah. You've seen the Jewish menorah? You know, has those candles coming out. How many would that be? Four, eight? Six? Seven. The number of completion. Six in the top one. That's the Jewish menorah. They still have that. They still reproduce it. There's a picture, a fascinating picture, where the Romans, when they came in the second time and destroyed the Jewish temple, it showed the Roman army. It's actually, you know, in stone. They're showing their victory from destroying Jerusalem. And it shows the Roman army carrying menorahs. See, it's solid gold. These menorahs are solid gold. They took them out and they carried them. And there's some pictures of Roman history of them carrying those menorahs. This is it. The Jewish people use the same thing now. Menorahs, the same thing. So that was the light. These candles, these seven candles, you came in and they had to keep them. They had oil in them and they kept them lit 24 hours a day. Never went out. That light never went out. Remained burning day and night. So that's the only light in this room. And this light is Jesus. This light's Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Ain't no other light. No light. But I'm the light of the world. And you walk into this tabernacle, and the only light is this menorah. The only light is Jesus. And then on the right So that's on the left. Then on the right, they had a table, and they called the table a showbread. Now, I don't know. I haven't looked this up. But how they spelled it, instead of S-H-O-W bread, they call it S-H-E-W bread. So I don't know the difference between shoe bread and show bread, you know. But anyway, you walk in. So you walk in. There's a light. And to the right, there's a gold table. Solid gold table, and it's for the showbread. And they keep 12 loaves of bread on it constantly. It starts getting old. I can't remember how often they replace it. It says it in Exodus. And they keep fresh bread to the right. See? So you walk in, menorah, and fresh bread to the right. What else did Jesus say? Heard one person say it. He said, I'm the bread of life. Do you see what we walked into? Do you see what we walked into? You walk in, Jesus, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am your sustenance. I am what you live off of. This is all you have to eat. This is all you have to see. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Let's go back. Process this. I am the way. Jesus, the righteousness. Jesus, the sacrifice. Jesus, the priest. Jesus, the laver. Word. Worship with the word. You walk in and you see the light of the world. Jesus. And the showbread, the bread of life. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. But also what we're seeing is we're seeing Jesus' ministry. We're seeing his ministry. You see what I'm saying? We're seeing his ministry. So now we continue on, and there's this altar of incense. Now, it's not as big as the bronze altar, but it's solid gold too. You know, it's an altar of incense, and it's set right in front of the curtain before the last third. They sat right in front of that curtain. And what they have, they got a fire going on that incense also. But what they pour on it is a special made, and go back to Exodus and they'll tell you how to make it. They is a fragrant incense. It smells good. It's fragrant incense. And they burn it morning and evening. Constant burning morning and evening. So you got this altar of incense. They're pouring this incense on, they're burning it, and you're just smelling this fragrance. And that smoke, now I can pull this from different places. So that smoke is coming up over that curtain and through that curtain. And it's a constant, sweet-smelling fragrance. And the Bible says the incense, it's the prayers of the saints. It's the prayers of Jesus. You see what happened? I'm the light. I'm the bread of life. And now just all your prayers are just sweet-smelling incense to God. Constant sweet-smelling incense. I love a psalm. I believe it's 141, verse 1 and 2. And it says, dear God, let my prayers be like a fragrant incense before you. From here. See, it's here. Oh, I got to say my prayers. God goes, no, this is fragrant incense. It's a fragrant incense to me. When you pray, it's a fragrant incense to me. So this is in front of the curtain. But you're still blocked out by this curtain. But you can still pray. So you have this whole picture that's being unfolded here. And again, look up the verses where it talks about prayer, intercession, and incense. It's an amazing study all by itself. Now we come up, boom, the curtain. The curtain. And this thing it's interesting. So it covers the whole back third of the room. There's this, you know, if you will, wall to wall, top to bottom. Ain't no door in this thing. There's no door. And it just says the high priest would go behind it. I guess, you know, just had to pull up a corner and squeeze in and go in, you know. Because it doesn't say how he got in. He said he just had to go in. Now, what's behind the curtain is the Ark of the Covenant. Solid gold Ark of the Covenant is behind this curtain. Now, this is a fact. The Bible tells us in different places, this box, irreverently, I'll call it a box, this box, this ark, God said, this is where God dwells. He's like, he dwells in that box. Okay. He said, but what he's telling me, this is where God dwells, but you got to go through all this stuff to get to him. Because God is behind this curtain. He's not in the outer court. You know, he's not by the bronze altar. You know, he's behind this curtain. So this ark, this solid gold ark, is behind the curtain. And no one can go back there ever except the high priest. Now, the other places, they'd let other priests. You know, you kind of like got junior priest or whatever. I don't know what you got. They can carry out some work. But no one but the high priest can go behind this curtain. Now again, it's stated 3 or 4 times already told us, even in opening chapter 9, says Jesus is the high priest. Okay, you know, and it, you know, we've already studied and gone over all those things. But so what we have here is that the high priest, which we know as Jesus now, the Old Testament human priest, but now the New Testament high priest Jesus, he's the one that goes behind that curtain into this box that is gold, this gold box where God dwells. Now, in this box is the Ten Commandments. Now, think about that. That's the only thing in it. Now, we could talk about some other things, but anyway, basically, the only thing in this box is the Ten Commandments. Isn't that interesting? Gold box. Now, this box has a gold lid on it. It has a gold lid. Very specifically talks about this lid. You know, it may, you know, making a big deal out of this lid. It has this gold lid, and he put on top of it. And what they call it is the mercy seat. The lid is called the mercy seat, okay? So he, Old Testament, clink, put this mercy seat. Now, it's gold. And on top of this mercy seat are golden angels. They're carved out golden angels connected to this mercy seat. And these angels, and it's very important, these angels, these two angels face cherubim, but it's angels. These two angels face each other on this mercy seat. And they face each other, and their wings are out back, and they face, and they're looking down into the box. It's really important because it always says they're looking into this box. So the angels are looking into this box. They're seeing the mercy seat and they're seeing the Old Testament. All right? So God says, and he says in Exodus when he's telling Moses to build this, he goes, this is where I will meet with you. That's what he says. This is where I will meet with you. Okay, big deal. This is a huge, big deal. Now, what's interesting, I don't know about you, but this just absolutely blew my mind first time I saw it. It says, it calls the lid the mercy seat, and it's translated different places, different, you know, situations referring to the mercy seat. Then it's translated mercy seat in the New Testament. Now, the reason I won't make it, because you've got the mercy seat, Hebrew, the mercy seat, New Testament, but still translate the mercy seat. The word mercy seat in the New Testament is the same word used for propitiation. Come on, 4 or 5, you should say, golly, you got to be kidding me. Propitiation. Jesus said, I am the propitiation. God said, Jesus is the propitiation. The propitiation, The propitiation, it means the payment of an offense and the turning away the wrath of God. The mercy seat is the propitiation. You have the Old Testament in the box. You have the propitiation on top of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments condemn, convict, because we can't keep up. It proves that we cannot come to unity with God. It proves our sinfulness, all right? And God, Jesus is that propitiation that cleanses us so we can approach Him. And so in this picture of God, the Ten Commandments showing the goodness and greatness of God is covered by propitiation that pays for the penalty of our sins and turns away the wrath of God. And it is the propitiation is Jesus, and the angels are looking down upon the propitiation, and they only see the law through looking down through the propitiation or looking through Jesus. And First Peter says the angels angels long to look forward and look down upon what God's doing with His people. The angels are amazed. The angels are amazed at what He's doing with us. This is where God says, this is where I meet with you. It says, so Jesus is the covering of the ark with the angels looking through Jesus to see the law. Yeah, I see the law, but I see it through Jesus. This is where God said He would meet with the people and speak with the people. Exodus 25:22 says the same thing in Hebrews 9:5. Same thing. Now, one more fascinating fact. Unbelievable, fascinating fact. Still, this huge curtain separates the most holy place from the holy place. It separates it. They're separated. And in the temple that Solomon built, they go into great detail about building this thing. And they interwoven this thing with gold. I mean, it was thick. It had gold in it. And it was really heavy, really big. And of course, the tabernacle that Solomon built was three times bigger than this one, so the curtain is three times bigger than that, and it covers all this huge stone temple from side to side, from top to bottom. You have this massive curtain, massive cloth curtain, all right? And so it's still all this stuff you see, but this curtain still separates everyone from God, from meeting with God. Very interesting. Very interesting. When Jesus died on the cross, this curtain in the temple was supernaturally torn in half from top to bottom, opening the way to God. It's in all three of the synoptic gospels. All three of them said, when He died, it is finished. That curtain tore in half from top to bottom. In Hebrews 10:20, it says, it reveals in Hebrews 10:20 that the curtain was Jesus' body. Process that. The curtain was Jesus' body. Now think about that. The priest was Jesus. Sacrifice was Jesus. Labor was Jesus. The bread was Jesus. The prayers of Jesus. They come before God, and it's that curtain, and it rips in two because the curtain was Jesus. Is there mutilating His body, destroying His body? When He died, that curtain split open. His death split the curtain. His death split that curtain. And forever, there's nothing standing in between us and God forever, forever. Nothing. Now, I've said before, I'll say again, John 3:16, you know, that's all we need to get to heaven. But God says, listen, you need to know what really happened. This is what happened. This is what happened here. I tore that curtain in two. And how it was torn in two is by tearing it, Jesus in two. His death tore that curtain in two. As Jesus' body was ripped apart on the cross, the curtain representing his body was ripped open, making an unobstructed path to God. All three synoptic gospels say that. Now, we're coming to the close of the message right here. Do you see why, when you read Hebrews, and by the way, read Hebrews 9 through verse chapter 9, 1 through 10, 1 through 11. It tells you this, okay? It just goes through. It goes through it like you ought to know what's going on, okay? See? So, but why God put this about that? Why was it necessary to put that about the temple? Why was that necessary? He goes, because I know you know that Jesus died for you, but do you have any idea who Jesus is? Do you understand the depths of who Jesus is? There's nothing but Jesus. There's nothing besides Jesus. You got to understand the depth. And if you understand the depths, then your heart rips open and you praise the Holy One above, because you understand the depths of what happened. This is what God desired to show us about his mind and purpose for Jesus and his ministry. This is it. This is Jesus' ministry. I'm going to make it a little fun, but y'all always forgive me of my sarcasm. I mean, I love these little pictures of Jesus and little kids on his knee and lambs coming in happy, you know. Praise Jesus for them. But this is what really happened. This is what happened. This is what happened. This here is what happened. And God says, you need to understand this. You need to understand this. And as soon as you understand this, you go, well, Christianity overrides everything. Christianity overrides every religion. Christianity is everything. And God put Jesus as everything. Totally everything. And you see it. You see the picture here. Now, this is my opinion. What we just talked about in general, this is the reason for the Old Testament, the tabernacle, and the whole Bible. What we just talked about. What we just talked about. This is the reason we have the Bible, is to understand this, the Old Testament. The reason we have the Bible is to understand what happened in the tabernacle and the long range of things, because Jesus went into the tabernacle. Tabernacle. The reason for the whole Bible is to reveal Jesus and what he did. A full revelation. And to have the full revelation, one needs to understand this. Through Jesus and his ministry, we are eternally joined to God. All God's people said, holy good night, amen. My goodness. Now you can see the importance. You put nothing before Jesus. You add nothing to Jesus. You don't look left to the right. Jesus is everything. Because when we see what God did to this point to bring us to that understanding, and he said he's given it to us. He's given it to us. Now, here's the closing of this section. Okay, this is the closing of this section. Hebrews 9, 11 through 12. So you have this on the in your mind. You have this in your mind. Now he's closing this out in Hebrews 9, 11 through 12. It says this, but when Jesus appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, pause. The greater and more perfect tent. Which one? It's in heaven. Okay. Now, Jesus, the high priest, through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with the hands, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Jesus entered once for all into the holy places in heaven, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, securing an eternal salvation. Don't doubt. Amen. We're secure. Amen. That's what he's saying. See, these two verses are great. It's closing this whole section out. Do you see this? Jesus is before everything. Now, we have eternal redemption. No question. No question. And I just put this out because, you know, people will add, I need to be good. You don't need to be nothing. The reason you're here, because you weren't anything. The reason you're here is because of Jesus. Don't think you can help him out now. You see what I'm saying? It's him, and he is everything. He is the one who died for us. He is the one who completed everything. And he's asking one thing. Believe me. Believe me. Believe me. Now, we are, now we'll kind of make a transition here. This is a transition. But I'm going to make kind of an application to us individually. You know, jump out of Hebrews just for a minute. But it still makes our mind come together of what's happened to us. To us. See, now we are the residents of God through Jesus. Did you know that? We are the residents of God through Jesus. You know, you say, well, pray you receive Jesus. What did we just say? I pray you. We really do receive Jesus. You know, we are the temple of God. Jesus is carrying out his ministry in us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins and indwells us. This is why we behave as we do. You're always, I tell you, I shouldn't say this because you're going to start. I don't know why he keeps bringing this up. This is why I don't steal any money out of the offering. You know, I mean, it's like, well, no. Christ in me. No, that's not how Christ would behave. It's not how he would behave. And therefore, I start behaving like Christ. And it's like, I don't need law. I just need to behave like him. Is he's living in me, transforming me. So I need to fall in love with him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind. And all the law hangs on this. See? But the dynamic, we see what Jesus did, and we see that same dynamic. That's what he's working to do within us. So Jesus in us is the why we behave at the way we're supposed to behave. You know, but he is the one that's a motivation for our behavior. Now listen to this. I love the way this starts out. It's O-R-R. Or you just don't get it. Okay, that's not exactly what he said. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or, you don't understand it. Or, don't you know? Or, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. You know, it's kind of when you get with your kids, you go, what are you thinking? Why'd you do that? What are you thinking? You know, and their answer is, we weren't. See, but this is what God's saying now. What are you thinking? If you understand what we just went over about the tabernacle, you go, what are you thinking? I'm going to read it. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own. That's our problem. That's our problem. I want to do this for me, myself, and I. And I will be happy. You're not your own. You were bought with the price, and we just saw the picture of the price Jesus bought us with. Therefore, you just should glorify God in your body. Ah, that would be the natural reaction. See, now we have the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the want to, but our natural reaction is like, oh my God, I want to serve you. All God's people said, amen. Amen. It's amazing. It's amazing what God has done for us. And he's just trying to let us know. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. God, when we look at this, truly, you know, you said you're the light of the world. And we see this and say, oh my goodness, you truly are the light of the world. And you say, you know, I'm the bread of life. I'm your sustenance. I'm the one who keeps you alive. And think, oh my God, you are the one that keeps us alive. Oh Lord, that I could just feast upon you. Dear God, and that I can come before your throne. Come before your throne, knowing that through the death of Christ, who is our propitiation, I'm forgiven and the wrath of God is turned away. And that cloud would guide me day and night. That cloud would guide me day and night. If I just let you be my light, if I just feast upon you. And for this we thank you, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.